You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
That's right. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Phil Williams. It's 4:07, moving into the last hour of today's show, and I'm just telling you right now, it's been a full one. We had an incredible call a minute ago from a guy who believes that those in the military who are questioning the idea of having the mandated vaccine, that they're whining because the military just has to do stuff. Well, we know that, and most of them are getting the shot. Right now, we're seeing the vast majority of the U.S. military, people that I know personally, some of whom are in my family, are literally getting, you know, the vaccination. And I'm not anti-vaccination. I am anti-mandate, and I believe that you should be allowed to question and be allowed to not know that your military career, everything you've put on the line, is suddenly going to be, you know, just done away with simply because you didn't stand in line and get one more shot that you had questions about. I'd say deal with it. I'd say before you decimate the SEAL teams, and I'm looking right now at that article again, I'll say this again. I see I got a caller on the line, so I'll go to it in just 1 second, but I've got to get some quotes out of this story. So I read you the story about what's happening right now with Navy SEALs, apparently hundreds of them, who are very concerned about having to take this vaccine. Some have religious questions about it. Some have health concerns about it. Some are saying they don't understand why they should have done everything it takes to become a Navy SEAL and suddenly be told that they're going to be non-deployable in a matter of a few weeks because they didn't rush to get this shot. Well, here's a quote from one of the guys in the article, Tim Parlatore. He's a lawyer who actually defended Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. And he says, quote, "It's in the hundreds," meaning how many are resisting. "It's in the hundreds. And it's not the senior leadership. It's all the shooters. And it's going to have a huge impact," he says. "If they continue to go down this asinine policy, you're going to have the complete decimation of the SEAL teams," he said. And he said, "These SEALs are not anti-vaccine. In fact, they get all sorts of shots." I can attest to the same. He said they just believe that more safety data needs to be made available to be able to make their own judgments, and some have already had immunity from surviving the disease. And then another guy, Eric Greitens, who used to be the governor of Missouri, who's a former Navy SEAL himself, he says, "This is wrong for national security. The only people who will benefit from destroying the combat capacity of naval special operations are the Taliban, Russia, and China, and our other adversaries around the world." He said, "It's also wrong at a human level. These warriors have dedicated their lives to the nation, spent their youth, and some of them their health, defending this nation, and now find themselves in trouble for no valid scientific, medical, or military rationale." He said, "It is clear their out-of-control command is more concerned with political correctness than lethality. And this is a warning, and thus is willing to squander national security and these men's personal careers." Hey, I got a caller on line three. Kenny from Elkmont's on the line. Hey, Kenny, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. What's on your mind, man?
Good afternoon, Brother Raphael.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I just called to respond to the last caller. I spent my 20 in the Marine Corps. Most of the shots that we took when we went overseas have been in use for 40 and 50 years.
That's true.
These shots were rushed through. And besides that, the likelihood of a healthy person with no comorbidities getting extremely sick or dying is less than 0.001%. Now, the shape that these SEALs are in is way better than your average healthy person, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
The same as with the Force Recon guys in the Marines, same as with the Airborne in the Army. These guys have less of a chance of being seriously sick than any of us that are back in the civilian world. So he needs to stop paying so much attention to social media. I don't have social media and won't for that reason.
Well, great point. Hey, Kenny, good call, man. It's hard for me to add anything to that, but I also appreciate your service. And you're right. I mean, the majority of things that we wind up getting stuck with when we get our deployment vaccinations or just our usual military shots. I mean, I had mandatory flu vaccine updates I had to get while I was in service. I had any number of pre-deployment shots I had to get. But then I also had times when there were things that were rushed in that were politically driven because someone felt like they had to get on the record, one of which was the anthrax vaccine, which soon thereafter went away. I also had, and I told about it a minute ago, when I was in Afghanistan, I was required to take Mefloquine. Go look up Mefloquine, M-E-F-L-A-Q-U-I-N-E. I'll never forget how to spell it, Mefloquine. And Mefloquine, I took it for a year. Come to find out later on, They don't usually do that for a year, but they had me do it for a year, and my team, and the rest of the guys in my unit. And I was messed up, along with several of them were messed up. And then they began having murders at Fort Bragg because they realized it had psychological impacts and it caused some people to have hallucinations. And then they also had any number of health concerns. Mine was my blood sugar was irregular for over a year and a half. And I'm just going to tell you, Mefloquine messed me up. Well, soon after I deployed and got back, the Department of Defense, they decided to stop, they stopped using Mefloquine. How about that? And my father, I mentioned a minute ago, Agent Orange exposure finally caught up with him. Well, that was a great idea when they first used it in Vietnam. Copper, you and I were talking during the break, and you made a comment on some of that. What, go ahead and chime in with your thoughts at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only demeaning to act as though Americans can't ask questions and make their own decisions for themselves, particularly our service members, but his arguments were completely illogical. He made the example of, crossing the street is dangerous, therefore we shouldn't try and make things safer in any area of life. Therefore, we shouldn't question anything. And he brought up the example of, misinformation he saw on social media. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with the vaccine because one instance was proven to be inaccurate. That's not how the scientific method works.
No, especially when I'm reading to him the statistics that are actually on the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System website. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, walking across the street, it does have inherent risks. That's why we typically stop at the curb and look both ways first. That's why we have red lights and crossing lights. That's why when you get in the car to drive, you know it's a risk. I mean, go up and down Memorial Parkway, you know it's a risk. That's why we wear seatbelts and have airbags. And we do what we can to mitigate the risks. And truthfully, if you don't want to cross the street, you don't have to. And if you don't want to drive, you don't have to. Those are privileges. They're not mandates.
And we're constantly discussing how to make things safer and analyzing it.
Absolutely.
And are willing to admit when there's something wrong that needs to change.
Absolutely. Like maybe we need to have a crossing light at that street because there's too many accidents that happen when people try to get across. You know, things like that. You mitigate the concerns. You address them. You don't tell people they're not allowed to work anymore because they didn't cross the street at the right time. And that's... So folks, what I'm saying here is, good job, Copper. Great points. Did I cut you off? Were you done there?
Oh, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, listen, folks, I want to hear your opinions, and I especially want to hear your opinions on what do you think about military readiness with regards to vaccine mandates. Is it more in line with military readiness to make sure they all get the shot, or is that going to be the thing that becomes detrimental to military readiness because so many of them are going to decide they don't want it and they're going to get out? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on these calls. I've had two calls, one I disagreed with, one I do agree with. And by the way, I don't mind disagreeing, and I don't mind anybody calling in having a different opinion. Let me make that real clear. You call in and have a differing opinion, that is certainly your right, and I'm glad I have differing opinions in the audience. And I do agree, he and I probably agree on 99% of the things out there. But on this one, we don't. But I will say this. If you call in with a differing opinion from mine, be prepared to defend it. Because I usually have done my homework, and I'm not saying things until I'm ready to say them. I try not to be reactionary. I try to be somebody who is sat here in the studio preparing for the conversations. But all said and done, I'm going to want to hear what you think about it. So we're gonna open the phone lines up here in just a minute. It's 866-494-9866. I'm especially curious what you think about military readiness in regards to vaccine mandates, good or bad. And then on top of that, I want to hear what you think about whether or not military members should be allowed to question. And I don't say that lightly, because I do recognize, as someone who served for 30 years, I'm the son and grandson of people who served careers in the military. I am, by the way, a third-generation combat veteran. Actually, a fourth generation, because my great-grandfather served in World War I. So that being said, I get it. And sometimes in the military, you have to give up certain of your freedoms to do those things that you're required to do on behalf of the defense of the Constitution of the United States. But I cannot help but question why things are being done the way they are, with complete disregard for people's sentiments, for their careers, and for their usual American ability to say, can we have some more information, please? because that's not happening here. I've already got one caller. I'll go ahead and take that before we go to the next break. Marie from Huntsville. Hey, Marie, Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Not doing too bad. I'm just throwing something out there because I like to be a cog in the works. Wouldn't this be a rather interesting way to be nefarious of drawing down the army?
Oh. Well, wouldn't it be? And in fact, especially when you look at the broader spectrum of not just the army, but the overall military, I mentioned the SEAL teams a minute ago. That's a very tight-knit, small community. And if you've got hundreds out of a group of 2,500 SEALs that are all going to be non-deployable, you've just decimated naval special operations at that point.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole thing was that they don't want a military, do they? And they certainly don't want a conservative military, so... Wouldn't this be a really interesting way of drawing it all down?
Wouldn't it be a backdoor way to get rid of those people you don't want? Hey, Marie, great call. Appreciate you being in the audience as always, and call in anytime, please. All right, folks, we got to head to a short break. Hey, when I come back, the phone lines will be open, 866-494-9866. So as we head into that break right now, just understand this. I want to hear your thoughts on what do you think about military readiness with regards to vaccine mandates. If you want to talk about some of the others, like the states having to step in the way of the federal government's overreach, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, Copper, you had one caller who didn't stay on the line. What were they calling in about? They said, I see you're on the phone again. Goodness, Copper, we're lit up. Phone lines are open, by the way, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. So if you want to call in and talk, I mean, one of the things that we're talking about right now is vaccine mandates for the military. What's that going to do to military readiness? Help it or hurt it? I think if I saw the note correctly that, Copper, you just typed up, that one guy who he didn't stay on the line, he said, and it's anecdotal, I don't know where he got his information. I'd love to know if there's a source that can quote this for me. He said that 1 in 5 cadets are going to recruiting stations and backing out of the possibility of joining the military when they learn that there's a vaccine mandate for the military. That's interesting. I'm curious to find out whether that's true or how we could confirm that. But, hey, Copper, do some searching on that when you get a second, if you don't mind, and let me know what you see. All right. Hey, but I see I got some folks on the line, so let me go to the phones. I think Steve from Huntsville was holding first. Steve from Huntsville. Hey, man, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Hey, so this is my take on these military vaccine mandates. It's all political. There hasn't been planning. You know, in the military, I have military experience. I have a lot of military friends. And whenever we do an operation or a mission, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. And this doesn't look like there's a lot of planning. It looks like that this is just a knee-jerk for political reason. And the soldiers or the military members are being used for political gain. And so this looks very similar to the Afghanistan pullout, where a political objective is the end state and not the betterment of soldiers. And I think the lack of planning that happened in Afghanistan is very apparent here in the second and third order effects of the soldiers and the Marines, the sailors. It's not brought into, I don't think it's been well thought out of.
Hey,
so
Steve,
operational readiness.
Yeah, I think you're on point, man. And by the way, thanks for your service. But I think you're absolutely on point. It does not feel well thought out. It feels like they're hammering this thing in, and basically it's like it or leave it. And a lot of folks are being faced with the choice of having to actually leave it, and that's a crying shame. Hey, Steve, thanks for the call. We appreciate you being on the audience with us, and again, thanks for your service. Let me jump over while I got time. Let me get line 4, John from Tanner. Hey, John, Phil Williams here from Right Side. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Phil?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, something I wanted to point out with when you had brought up the CDC's advanced reactions post
right.
on the website.
That's correct.
The numbers I had heard were 12,000 deaths, but this was a few weeks ago, so it's even okay. higher now.
Okay, wow, yeah.
But the thing I wanted to bring up was that that is more than double the number of deaths than every single other vaccine that is given for the last 30 years.
Wow, where do you get that data from?
That was it was off of that CDC's website.
Wow.
The number from for the last 30 years of recording for all the vaccines was in the 6,000s range.
Wow.
The last
man.
30 years.
Wow. I will go and
we
will
more
go
than
and
doubled it in less than a year.
Yeah, I'll go and review that myself, but that is sobering. Man, that's some sobering information, John. I'll tell you what. Hey, John, thanks for the call. I got one more guy on the line that I got to run and get to real quick before I run out of time. But, John, thanks for being in the audience. We appreciate your time. Hey, my brother Jeff from Indiana. I got about a minute, man. What's on your mind?
Well, we don't need no military anyway. Nobody up there knows how to use them to start with. So
Lord, Jeff. Well, right now you would think the Biden administration feels like they don't need a military, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even kick out a bunch of goat ropers, you know, over in Afghanistan. What's going to happen if we go up against somebody who's actually got a well-oiled military?
Oh,
crazy.
Well, let's hope we don't come to that, Jeff. But my brother, thank you for calling in, as always. And, even a bunch of goat ropers, like Jeff said. Well, folks, listen, that's what it feels like we're in right now. We're in a goat rodeo right now dealing with this this vaccine mandate and the way it's been rolled out. You know, they could have dealt with us in a totally different capacity, and they might have found a far more approachable populace. But when you get on there and say, our patience is wearing thin, well, that doesn't go very far. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right.
This is News.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. And you can listen to us, by the way, live online no matter where you are. If you're outside of our broad AM-FM capability at WVNN, it do not matter. Just go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and click Listen Live. And no matter where you is, there we is. And that's why I've got listeners in Georgia, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Indiana, Virginia, Tennessee, gosh, where else? Kentucky, down in Florida. I mean, it's crazy. It's fun, and I love it. And I love the fact, too, that like Jeff from Indiana is one of our regular callers. That's pretty cool. So, folks, listen, we have been talking about the any number of things this time. I gave you my triple dipper for the day. The state government is your only firewall, number one. The crisis at the southern border, number two. And number three was the COVID vaccine mandates could create a military readiness issue, number three. So those are my triple dipper for the day. But I'm looking at something that just came up, all right? So literally just this afternoon, pretty much while I was on the air, maybe just prior, President Biden made a speech to the UN General Assembly. Okay, it was just before I went on the air. He made a speech to the UN General Assembly. I will say this. At the very least, he's getting out there and giving speeches now, because for a while there, I was starting to be concerned that he couldn't tie his own shoes. At least now we know he can go places and read his teleprompter in public. There was also an interesting dialogue between he and a reporter as he left the event at the United Nations. He was walking out the door with his security team, and as he's walking by the press corps, somebody shouted out to him, Mr. President, what are you going to do about the southern border or something like that? He says, we're going to get it under control. And they said, they literally followed up and they said, Mr. President, are you saying your administration has it under control or you're going to get it under control? He says, we're going to get it under control. Meaning the administration just acknowledged they don't have it under control. Well, it took a while for that to be admitted. But so this UN General Assembly speech, though, well, basically, I'm looking at one report right here that came out from James J. Carafano, who is a fellow at the Heritage Association, I believe. Let me look in his bona fides here. Yeah, he's a vice president of foreign and defense policy studies at the Heritage Foundation. So James J. Carafano, I follow him on social media, and I also read his stuff when it comes out. And he literally says right here that this was a speech given today that should delight any globalist. Well, earlier I was telling you that 66 or more of the appointees and members of the administration staff in the Biden administration come from an organization called the Center for American Progress, an uber-liberal organization that is globalist in nature and extremely liberal in its policy advocacy. And President Biden has got an entire staff filled up with these people. And now he gave a speech today to the UN. I believe it's his first speech to the UN since he assumed the office. And he basically gave what James J. Carafano says was a globalist speech. In Carafano's words, it was suffused with promises of multinational cooperation. Okay, that's all right. You shake hands among nations. But it addressed all the standard progressive pet projects like climate change, global equity, universal labor and environmental standards. He even promised to, quote, build back the world better and then open up what he called the American ATM for still more foreign assistance for everybody. What it lacked, though, he says, was context about how America is actually leading. And it even went on to say, like even in the wake of his catastrophe in Afghanistan, was a declaration that America stands up for its allies and friends. Really? I mean, not only do we have the debacle in Afghanistan, we have France, who just withdrew its ambassador for the United States, and then something that flew almost under the radar. Did you see the other day when Secretary of State Antony Blinken, why does that man still have his job? Secretary of State Antony Blinken tweeted out at one point in his tweet, it said that America stands by its allies in Hong Kong. And then within an hour, I believe it was, the tweet was taken down and that statement was taken out of it and put back up. The Secretary of State's own Twitter was taken down. The tweet was taken down and amended to withdraw the statement that we stand with the people of Hong Kong. Why would that be? Well, maybe it's because, contrary to what President Biden said today at the United Nations, that we don't necessarily always stand up for our allies and friends in this administration. It comes right on the heels of when he abandoned, 38 million Afghans? Not to mention the fact that, depending upon who you listen to, there are either 100, according to Blinken, or, you know, maybe upwards of closer to 1,000, according to reports like from Lara Logan, that are now sitting at the mercy of the Taliban. The Taliban, who have already started beheading children and torturing journalists. I mean, the whole thing was what Carafano says was borderline laughable. And then he went on to brag that the U.S. is now better equipped to detect and take out terrorists. And this is on the heels of a drone strike in Afghanistan where all he managed to accomplish was killing 10 civilians. Copper, I'll tell you what. Copper, go ahead and get, you know, I've got two clip fives. Get me the Chris Wallace clip five, the very last one on my list for today. And let me know when you got that ready. I'm gonna want to probably play that clip here in a second, because what we're seeing here is that President Biden is giving what I would call a revisionist review of foreign policy, of basically all policies at the United Nations today, bragging that the U.S. is better equipped to detect and take out terrorists when we just had a drone strike that literally didn't even hit anything close to its target. Because if you remember, it was all about ISIS-K, going to take out ISIS-K. And the Pentagon even went on to confirm through the chairman of the Joint Chiefs that it was a righteous strike and that it took out an ISIS planner, but an ISIS facilitator. Two of them. They knew who it was, an ISIS planner, an ISIS facilitator. No, it was seven children and their parents. And so what we're looking at now is the President of the United States goes to the United Nations today and gives a speech saying that we're better equipped now to detect and take out terrorists. And this just happened because he says we have over-the-horizon capability. Well, that hadn't been very effective. Chris Wallace was talking BuzzFeed. Anyway, Chris Wallace was talking this weekend in an interview, and he said this. Go ahead and play that clip, Copper.
But the fact is going to matter dramatically. You know, Joe Biden
justifying the pullout from Afghanistan, has talked about, well, we don't have to have boots on the ground. We have this over-the-horizon capability, which basically means we can fight the war on terror from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Well, this was the last strike by the U.S. military before we pulled up stakes entirely in Afghanistan, and it was a tragic, tragic error. I mean, it not only did it not hit ISIS-K, it hit 10 people, 7 children, and the target, rather than being a terrorist, in fact, was an aid worker.
Yeah, just incredible.
So there you go. I mean, it's a good thing we have some media that's willing to call this stuff out, but the reality is the president goes to the U.N. today. First thing he does is talk about all the globalist things he's wanting to do and climate change and global equity and universal labor and environmental standards. What? How do you even enforce that? And then he promised to build back the world better. And then he went on to say that we're better equipped to detect and take out terrorists today on the heels of this drone strike debacle that Chris Wallace just said over horizon capability really didn't work very well, did it? And then he went on to reaffirm America's commitment to the rights of women and girls around the world. I'm questioning how he can say that, knowing full well he just gave Afghanistan to the Taliban and that women in Afghanistan are already being sold into sex slavery, denying the opportunity to have jobs, have been given no role in the new government, and it all because of the Biden administration, which reaffirms its commitment to the rights of women and girls, according to his speech at the UN today. But then he goes on to talk about, what did he say? He said he had promised to hold the Taliban accountable for the future of Afghanistan. He said that. Well, how does he plan to hold them accountable? Well, he didn't even know they were moving across the country when we had intelligence in the country to work with, and now we don't. And yet he's going to claim that somehow or another they're going to hold them accountable, especially when you consider that his own State Department, the FBI, still has one of the head of the Taliban government on their list of most wanted with a multi-million dollar bounty on his head. But they're going to hold them accountable, even though they're now allowing them to just run rampant inside the boundaries of the country we fought for 20 years. He declared that he would help bring peace in his UN speech today on, in democratic values to places like war-torn Yemen and Ethiopia, both examples of countries where Biden's policies have so far just made things worse. He's going to be a champion, he says, of human rights, even though his open border policies right here in the United States have created a humanitarian crisis right on our own southern border, complete with massive human trafficking. And the fact that the state of Texas, like I said to you earlier, is having to intervene on its own using its Department of Public Safety and the National Guard in Texas to try and secure the borders because the federal government won't do it, even though you've got 26 governors, including our own Governor Kay Ivey, who wrote a letter to the Biden administration insisting on a meeting with him as the chief executives for over half of the states that he is the president over. They are demanding a meeting to talk to him about the fact that they are leaving the states with no resources and a complete crisis on their hands, and they demand something be done about it. Well, he's going to get control, he says. He's going to get control. Man, I'm just telling you, the speech today, I just sort of hoped that we were going to have something more to work with out of this. What, Copper, what you got there? You said about Mexico? Oh, no, we can't do that, Copper. We can't.
I suggest you don't say that on the air, Copper. But part of me thinks if we just conquer Mexico and make them a territory, they'll be so much happier. I mean, they want to come here. We don't want the cartels there. Just go squish them with the Marines.
This is where I need to go ahead and add a quick disclaimer as the attorney for the show also, that is not in the advice of the show. But I ask you this, though, Copper, I tell you what, that brings up a point. Go get the other clip five ready, the one that says clip five, Ron Vidiello. Ron Vidiello is a former ICE chief, and he made a statement today. He said, in the middle of all this crisis, if you remember during the Trump administration was working with Mexico. Mexico was actually helping us secure the border. Mexican Marines were doing their part on their side, and the Remain in Mexico policy was ready. I've got a clip here. Copper, you let me know when you're ready with it. It's the other clip five, the one with Ron Vidiello. He asked the question, where is the Mexican government right now? Because now this would also be, by the way, this would be a Secretary Antony Blinken responsibility to try and do something with the Mexican government. Go ahead and play clip five with Ron Vidiello.
Let's set that aside. Well, where's Mexico in this? They're letting thousands of people come through their country and just walk up through Ciudad Acuña into Del Rio without any consequence, without any monitoring, without any health screening, with nothing. They're just letting this happen. Mexico needs to get engaged here also. They need to protect their border from this uncontrolled flow, and then that would help on the Del Rio side as well.
You mentioned the image.
So there you go. I mean, what a great question. As we move to our last short break of the day, just understand that the Mexican government is nowhere to be found in this because there is not a Trump administration holding them accountable anymore. There's a Biden administration with a feckless Secretary of State named Antony Blinken, who is literally doing nothing to try and prevent or work with Mexico to stop this flow. This flow that almost appears to be intentional in its capacity right now. Ugh. All right, folks. Listen, we'll take a short break. Be right back to wrap up the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, we have talked a little about a lot and a lot about a little and covered some ground today. Copper, I have an idea. I've got an idea. It's a brainstorm, if you will. Copper, are you with me?
Okay, I
know you're waiting for this. I've had one of those gestalt moments. I've had one of those, like, brain... just complete, like, explosions. So here's the deal. You may have seen that apparently there's no fear of COVID in Hollywood. They can have the Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
They can put on their balls and their gowns. Oh, or the Met Gala. So what we can do to preserve military readiness is we can have all military members, when they enlist for service, register with the Screen Actors Guild, and then they will be exempt from COVID restrictions and remain deployable, and that alone will preserve our military readiness. What do you think?
That's a great idea. We should just make a whole reality show of it.
can you and I be the hosts? I think that would be a hit. I think, well, it's got to be better than some of the ones I'm seeing on TV, like Naked and Afraid. I mean,
it'll be more meaningful and enjoyable than all these vapid, mostly naked people we have to watch.
Vapid and mostly naked people. Yeah. By the way, who does these shows? Who thinks this up? Who sits around and says, I've got an idea for a show. I think it'll be a hit. Right. Everybody's naked, and they walk around in the woods and try to survive. Why?
I mean,
who does that?
It sells. That's the scary part.
I got news. So in survival training, they teach you that there are certain things that you have to do, one of which is you have to establish fresh water right away. You have to find a food source. You have to find shelter. And you need to put some clothes on and be able to protect yourself from the elements. So I'm just saying. Okay. Well, listen, it's been a full day, but the vaccine mandate for the military thing, we can joke about this, but it's also no joking matter. It's no joking matter in the broader sense, too, that we're looking at a federal government that for the first time in anyone's memory is going to mandate a vaccine. And our attorney general was on the show the other day, and he pointed out the one case that they're relying upon, I've forgotten the name of it, but it comes out of one of the northeastern states, went through a Supreme Court decision. It dealt with a state-level mandate. And that's what we're looking at here. I think here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Biden administration knew for a fact the vaccine mandates are going to fail. I think they're going to fail for anybody outside of federal government employment, which means you're going to wind up seeing a lot of people exit federal government employment, whether it be military or contracting or just, the government service. And I think you're going to see some who will stay in and get vaccinated. That's fine. But you're going to see some that will get out. And when they get out, you're going to see this exodus into the private sector. But yet the federal government has said, you can lose your job in the private sector. We can make that happen. We'll send OSHA around to make your life miserable. And so you're going to have any number of companies that are going to say, fine, the limit is 100 employees. We don't tend to ever get past 99. That's going to happen. It's going to limit productivity. It's going to limit the capabilities and growth of businesses. You're also going to have some clients or companies that are going to wind up splitting. They're gonna make themselves into a series of separate LLCs and corporations just to avoid being one big 100 plus. And then I think you're going to wind up seeing some states, some liberal states are going to say, we're going to impose our own state level mandate because we think we can uphold that. And they're going to become the states that people are going to leave from and go to the more conservative states. And it's not going to be South versus North like some of the media wants to say. We've got Nebraska and Alabama. We got Florida and, what's another one? Florida and Georgia. We got, it's any number. They're all over the place. Louisiana, Mississippi, South Dakota. I'm just telling. All right, folks. The great one, Mark Levin, is coming up next. You'll love his show. Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Solid conservative. And as always, just plain right. Have a great night.
VNN Athens.